the energetic influence of your actions, a matter that matters to you and me. Animals, plants, rivers, oceans, mountains, and every living being. Invisible existence, complete oneness, unlocking your heart. Intentions, utterances, and actions precipitating our existence and reality. This is a plea to humanity. Be kind with your thoughts, words, and actions. Kind heart. Is your food plate an act of horror and violence? I have planted seeds of life in the garden of kindness. Can we all plant what matters to all? Summon the world of your dreams in every one of your actions, a matter that matters to you and me, the animals, plants, rivers, oceans, mountains, and every living being. Unlocking Your Heart, this poem from today's guest, Marcella Benson, author of the most beautiful book, Love, Peace, and Vegetables. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned for Tributaries. Marcella, let's cut to the chase with one of the first quotes in your book. When you catch yourself in some place other than love, take a deep breath, put your hands on your heart, and remember that everything you have ever needed to know is with you right now. And wow, if we all remembered something like this, things would certainly change, wouldn't they?
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Yeah. Things will change because, you see, most of what's happening is really a construct of our mind and our judgment and how things, they need to be according to the wishes and the experiences of our mind and not to who we really are and what's really happening.
And your book, Love, Peace, and Vegetables, is a creatively compelling and life-affirming place to go for finding one's path to health. And considering the depth and breadth of your book, it isn't just about diet. There's probably a place where we all have to make a decision to enter into a path for health. Is that true, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I don't see life as a path to diet, you see. I see life as a path to a way of being in the world that is aligned with your soul. So alignment with your soul, you know, it is an individual path. And in that individual path that I've had, I show you in Love, Peace, and Vegetables a way to finding your own path. What works for you. So I don't oblige anybody to do anything that is not aligned with them. I show you what has worked for me and what is aligned with my heart. And maybe we can find a place of heart-to-heart understanding in which what I talk can touch your heart and can help you transform your life into what you need to have happen.
Right. And what does spiritual nutrition mean to you, and how does it translate when you work with people?
First of all, nutrition, what we talk and what we eat and how we are in the world, it is not separate from us. Yeah, it is not what you eat on every day and how you feel is not separate. So what I show in spiritual nutrition counseling, I point out is how food makes you feel and how this is not separate. Then you start realizing how you need to eat in order to be aligned with your soul. And in order to be aligned also as a physical, material being that needs a body, that needs to feel optimal to have an optimal life.
Your book has recipes for live food and vegan lifestyle. Do you work with people who aren't on that food wavelength? Or do you feel
Absolutely.
It's... Okay.
All the people that I work with, they're not vegan or live fooders. actually they don't need to be, because everybody has a different path. This is what I teach. That's the only thing I teach. But most of the people that come to me.
Well said. Can you give an example of someone you've led, what a session might look like, or an example of how your work is really able to bring someone into a clear path for themselves? What's involved in that? I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is slowing down.
Yes. That is part of coming with me, understanding. But sometimes, you know, when you have the clarity of your life down path, and when you have the nutrition of your life also down path, you can go pretty fast and pretty clear without having to feel like you're living in a whole complete blur. So how I start the education is, first of all, understanding what your body needs. And what your body needs, according to your dosha, for example, your dosha means your Ayurvedic constitution. That could be pitta, vata, kapha. So we talk about that, and I give you a dosha test for you to know that. So then I know what type of constitution you are, and also how I need to teach you in order for you to absorb the most. Okay, some people need a slower teaching mode. Some other people need a faster teaching mode. Some other people need a very short, you know, teaching mode. And some other people need a combination. Then as we go through that, then also I teach everybody how much protein, how much plant protein do you need in your diet according to your lifestyle. If you're an athlete, you're going to need more. If you're a pregnant woman, you're not going to need more. If you have used your brain, you're going to need a different, you see. So we analyze, and I show you how to look at yourself, how you are, and the work you do for you to be able to graduate your protein and your food in a way that really optimizes your brain, your stamina, your understanding. You see?
Absolutely. So,
and then, yes, and then we go through the emotional part. You know, what's happening? We can't do it today. Today is not a good day, and why is it not a good day? And why is happening in our mind that is having a type of boycotting into not being our optimal self today? So that's a little bit, you know, a little bit of a lot of the things that I do.
Yes, and your background certainly is very varied and very wide. So you've been able to synthesize so much information for the contents of this book, for instance. And you just mentioned protein. Share a little bit about getting good proteins from plants.
Yes. Well, it's important because, you see, if we have a plant diet that everything converts rapidly into sugar, yes, or our protein, or even any kind of diet, you know, diet or whatever you eat, it converts into sugar very fast, then you're not going to be able to get away from the addicted and the seduction of food bad habits. Yeah. So when you understand what are the sugars, what are the proteins, and understand and what is the bioavailability of certain proteins, yeah? If you're eating meat, chicken, if you're eating fish, chicken, and meat, and eggs, you know, all of these has a bioavailability of, I believe, 17%, 18, 20, 24% of bioavailable proteins to you. So when you eat it, if it's 20-something grams of protein, you have only 17% or 20%, depending on what you're eating. See? When you're eating, for example, a teaspoon or a tablespoon of spirulina, which is a green algae, that might be 14 grams of protein. Okay? Let's put it that way. 98% of this is bioavailable to your body. So what happens is your body starts, it absorbs so much more protein than any other animal protein. And this is something that you have to learn when you're going to using plant protein, that you'll need much less amount and your body will be able to use it so much more.
Understood. Yes, can you tell us a couple of more places where we can get protein from plants beside the spirulina?
Yes. I'll give you two more that are my favorite.
Great.
Right? I love hemp seeds. They're delicious, they're easy, and if you're traveling, which I travel a lot, you can just throw a bag of hemp seeds in your purse or in your bag, and you can add it to any salad wherever you are in the world. And that is also really nice amount of protein. Just that I think a tablespoon of hemp seeds also has about 14 grams, and it has a nice, and it's all fat and protein, which means that if you are working out, your muscles are going to have longer stamina, because as you have more fat in your diet and you work out, then you have more stamina.
Yes, absolutely.
Fat gives you about 8 times more the energy than carbs or anything else. And the other one that I like, I love pumpkin seed protein. Those are my three favorites that I like to use on my everyday basis.
I love that, too. Thank you. Gabriel Cousins writes that you are a master of moderately low glycemic cuisine and recipes. Can you get into some of the nuts and bolts about this? I know this is just what you were speaking about. Is it particularly key to a vegan or raw food diet, or is it just simply key for most of us these days?
Yes, these days for most of us. Okay, mind you, there are exceptions, and it all depends how your body burns energy. Yes, so some people can do a little bit better with a little bit more sugar diet, but not sugar as we know it, okay?
Right.
Fruits, that's what I'm saying, or carbs. But most of us right now, because we live in such an inflammatory, sugarized world, you know, we benefit tremendously from coming into low glycemic nutrition.
It's so, just hearing you say we're living in a sugary, inflamed world, I just totally went on a different trajectory with that one. Not necessarily us eating, you know. It's like, yeah, that's about it in a nutshell. Which is, of course, the point of your book, I believe. It certainly makes a point of that, how everything is totally related to the next thing. And we can't just skip one thing or ignore one thing and think we are going to have a path forward in health, right?
Yes, we're going to have a path forward on everything. On health, on nutrition, and spirituality, on the understanding that we are one, and we all, every little person, every little being, every small little being, through the big human beings, we all matter in this world. And I believe we're all waking up a little further every day into this amazing wonder and miracle.
Beautifully said, yes. And working with so many folks, what are you finding are stumbling blocks for people currently?
Yes, the way they speak to themselves. That's the biggest stumbling block. The way you not hear anymore how badly you're treating yourself and how much you're believing what you think of yourself. And not necessarily it is a good thing. Once you realize, and once everybody realizes what they think of themselves, it's a construction of their mind, and what happens to you is what just happens to you, then you can liberate yourself into unconditional happiness and unconditional love and beingness in this world.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, too bad there's not a cookie or a plant that you just take for something like that, you know, that you just eat for that. But then I was reminded in your book that you write about a time long ago when you did a water fast and how that really did kind of take care of that in a sense, didn't it?
Yes, fasting always brings you into clarity. Yeah, and it can be a water fast, or it could be, I don't advise for people to do an unsupervised any fast, but green juice fasting, which is quite safe if you are not coming into it very toxic, it's important right. to understand that, brings you into so much clarity and understanding of our oneness. You know, and just remember, there is layers and layers and layers of that. So be patient with yourself as you fast and as you find your ways.
Now, I know you are also a student of the Essene Order of Light, and in fact, you've moved through the ranks to be an Essene priestess, and you've studied so much about religion and spirituality. What drew you in on this path in particular?
Into being an Essene priestess?
Yes, to follow that tradition of the Essene Order of Light. What is that?
Okay, I'll tell you something. It's a little bit funny.
Good.
My teacher told me I had to do it.
Okay,
I didn't want to.
Which teacher was this?
I didn't want to. My teacher told me you have to become a priestess. And I was like, ah, really? Do I have to study all of this? Dr. Gabriel Cousins.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, the head of the modern Essene priesthood. And then I said, okay, Marcela, he's telling you to do it. He's a wise man. You should comply. And I did, and I'm forever grateful I did it, because it really reunited me in a different way into my purpose in this world. And although I started like a child moaning and groaning,
which was your first clue,
I think I rolled my eyes. I had the audacity of rolling my eyes.
I get that. I totally get it.
But sometimes it's like that, you know, you just have to be pushed a little.
Yes. So, well, what is the basis? If it changed you in a way, I'm curious now, what was that way? What happened?
Well, it changed me because first of all, when I studied all the religions and I studied, it broadened my understanding of how the different paths all carry truth. So it opened me up to the wonders of all religions. Second of all, I was able to understand that your meditations, when you truly, truly, truly can stand there with an open heart to all, the one heart descends upon you. And this, it's just incredible. And when you have the descent of the one heart, when you read scriptures, also something else happens. They become alive in a way that you're not reading any longer, but they're reading you. They're teaching you through the readings, and they become alive. Scriptures become alive. And this is my experience, which is a very mystical experience. But this is how it changed me.
Understood, yes. You know, we have a beautiful Ayurvedic healer here in town, and she was actually working in a hospital and a medical doctor in India from England, but doing her final studies there. And she met Dr. Ladd. And so he told her, go meditate for a year and then come back. And it worked for her as well.
Yes. The lovely Vasant Ladd. Yes.
system.
Sometimes that's all you need. Meditate and unify and let that grace happen upon you.
Yes, certainly. The grace is there. It's hard to believe it's invisible, isn't it?
It's hard to believe everything is invisible.
Right, yeah. Good comeback,
because
yes.
We see so much.
Right, yes. Yep. Yeah.
In the Torah, it is taught that the heaviest organs of your body are your eyes.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that before. You know, a lot of your book, yeah. Love, Peace, and Vegetables, is a brilliant cookbook, just beautiful. And you're very obviously an alchemist in the kitchen. So can you share a recipe or why you could be described as an alchemist in the kitchen?
Yes. Well, I can share one. You know, being in the kitchen, it is a true alchemy, yes? Because you're transforming. You're making, for example, from cabbage, you transform it to sauerkraut, which is, you know, a one form of life. Yes, alchemy is to transform something also. The one form of life of being just a raw cabbage into being a full spectrum sauerkraut with all kinds of beneficial probiotics and bacteria for your gut. Yes. Not only that, you're transforming something from, which is my fascination is fermentation, because through fermenting something, it can become immortal. Mm-hmm. And as we put things in our body that no longer create aging, that creates a perfect age, that it never becomes bad, we become that too. So for me, that alchemy that happens in the food, I always think, oh, how can we make it for our body? How can we make our bodies immortal through ingesting the right amount and the right type of things, so everything becomes steady? You know, so that's my dream of dreams.
Yes, well,
and that's how I love so much.
Yes, and it's certainly happening with the beauty and the taste and all of that. It certainly grabs all of the senses. What a wonderful way to go, certainly. And yes. Marcella, your book, when I think about it, I have a hard time calling it a book because it is such a truly artistic piece. I just really recommend everyone trying to seek it out because it's such a thing of beauty. And I'm wondering, what was the whole process like for you? Obviously, you wrote it and you have your recipes in there and you have some of your poetry. And is some of the art yours? Did you have input into how it actually was all put together?
The art is a dear friend of mine. It's a Balinese artist, which is a spiritual art. Everything is created with blessings by the Batuan art form. And the Batuan art form understands that art is not just art. And yes, I had him, and I had an incredible photographer who understood my intention behind my photograph and behind my setting and how I wanted to direct everything and behind the beauty of everything. What's behind beauty? Unconditional love.
Right.
And beauty is to the eye of the beholder. Yes? And for me, that was important because I wanted to inspire people through beauty. The people that resonate with beauty will resonate with this book, and therefore it will bring the unconditional love. That's why I called my book Love, Peace, and Vegetables, because I want it to be a spectacle in your house for you to see it.
Yes.
And see the word love and see it that, oh, I want to pick it up. Oh, I want to eat well. Oh, I want to live well. See, I want to bring another piece in your home that can inspire you, that can bring you that closer to yourself again.
You know, I believe we all have heart and soul, and no one, I don't think, has more than any other. And yet it's the light of love that lets it shine. And your message, Marcella, is coming through loud and clear.
Oh, thank you. I'm just so happy and delighted. Thank you. take the blessings of this book, bring them into your life, whatever works, and find things in life that inspire you to live a better life, because you are worth it. No. Sometimes, like I say, we need a little push.
Love, peace, and vegetables. Three of my favorite things, and maybe even in that order. Many thanks to Marcella Benson, author and guest. For anything Tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasts are in the usual spots. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.